lever, which I think is probably underappreciated, is sleep. How do you think about sleep, and how do you track your sleep, and how do you track
Yes.
it?
I use an Oura ring. At least from the sleep specialists that I've talked to, they think of it as is probably the best option. I mean, none of them are perfect, but the Oura ring seems to provide better data than the other options right now. And it's a moving target, so I use the Oura ring. Sleep is of terrific importance. It is massively underappreciated as a physician, as a surgeon. We didn't appreciate this at all. We still don't. Most doctors don't appreciate this at all. Surgical residency and working 100 hours a week and not sleeping. This was what I did as a neurosurgeon. You don't want to know that if you are a patient, but that is what that is the way it exists. But if you want to die quickly, don't sleep. Right? That's actually physically true, but it's also sleep is massively underappreciated. If you get inappropriate, if you don't get enough sleep, if you get inadequate sleep, you're at a higher risk of virtually everything that can kill you. Diabetes, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, you're at a higher risk for cancer. In fact, it is considered an actual probable carcinogen, night shift workers. So this is a big problem. So with regard to sleep, here's a few, I guess. I'm trying to give some nuggets that are actually useful. And the one thing I would say is, listen, anybody who likes to have a glass of wine, I like to have a glass of wine once in a while. I'm not, not Brian Johnson here, and it's not at 11 a.m. either, but if you drink any amount of alcohol, will disturb your sleep, guaranteed. It's just going to. If you wear an Oura ring, you're going to see it, and it's usually going to affect, the part of sleep called deep non-REM. I'm going to back up a little bit, and I don't know how much you guys talk about this, but there's really, when it comes to sleep, I think there are two major types of sleep that are critically important that people need to get. And one is what's known as non-REM, deep non-REM sleep. And then the other is REM sleep. And deep non-REM sleep happens, if you don't get deep non-REM sleep, typically you are significantly, you are going to increase the risk of dementia in particular, because that's usually when you're getting cleaned out, when the various plaques and things that sort of aggregate in Alzheimer's, that's when they're going to get cleaned out. But the issue with these two types of sleep is, one thing to think about is it's not just a matter of how much sleep you get. It's also when you sleep. When you sleep is terrifically important. And this is, again, something that as you grow up, you don't really appreciate. You're spending nights out and eating late and going to bed at, 1 in the morning. Deep non-REM sleep is something that typically occurs in the first half of the night, first part of the night, okay? And when I say first part of the night, it's not what you choose to be the first part of the night. It is going to happen with or without you in the first half of the night before midnight, before 1 a.m. So if you're not sleeping at that time, say from 10 or 11 to 1, you're probably missing out on your lion's share of deep non-REM sleep. On the other hand, the REM sleep predominantly occurs and the latter half of sleep. So this is happening, in the 1 a.m. to 7, 6 or 7 a.m. space. So if you're missing out, either you're going to bed way too early or waking up way too, you're going to bed too late or waking up too early, you're likely to be missing out on one or the other. Now, life is what it is, right? But that is something to think about. I was finding that I was particularly vulnerable to getting less deep non-REM sleep. And, alcohol of any kind, again, was a big trigger. So what are some other things to think about there? Eating and drinking of any kind, like drinking water. I have a friend who, for some reason, she was drinking a glass of water right before bed because she felt like a hydrator, and somebody told her to do that some time ago. As it turns out, when she first got an Oura Ring, because she was listening to my show, she said, I'm getting no deep non-REM sleep at all. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, what have you been doing? And she told me about this glass of water. I said, well, cut out the glass of water. Okay. Well, she cut out the glass of water, and net net, what ended up happening was she stopped having to get up to use the restroom in the first half of the night. It completely restored her deep non-REM sleep. And little things like that are truly remarkable what they can do, because now, I mean, arguably, she has lowered her risk of dementia because she's cut out a glass of water before she's gone to sleep. And then she has now getting plenty of deep non-REM sleep, which is allowing her brain to contract and get rid of all of these aggregates of beta amyloid plaques. It's just, it's like that. It's pretty amazing.
It is, because it's like compounded over such a long time. If you do,
Exactly.
that's what really makes a difference. Yeah, I have my Oura Ring, and I look at my sleep. I don't get enough deep sleep, but I'm not sure why. Okay, so kind of something that you've
Well,
alluded,
let me ask you this. Do you snore?
yes, sometimes.
Sleeping, snoring definitely can affect deep non-REM sleep. Yeah, because if you think about it, this is happening. This is a deep part of sleep, and you're effectively disrupting yourself and often waking up. Now, that doesn't even, and I'm not even talking about sleep apnea. I'm just talking about pure snoring. Sleep apnea is a completely different animal, right? So anybody who snores probably should be tested for obstructive sleep apnea as well. And, but even if you're just snoring, being able to mitigate the snoring with various devices and that kind of thing might be helpful.
Interesting. I will look at that.